the Denker's KCPW studios in Salt Lake City, this is Downtown SLC, a program that explores the people, places, and events that are shaping Utah's urban center. I'm Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance, and today we'll be talking about development downtown. The past 5 years have seen a boom in downtown construction and development. Certainly projects like City Creek Center and 222 South Main have contributed to a renaissance in the core of our city, but there are other smaller projects throughout the downtown area that are bringing new vitality and life to Utah's capital city. Joining us in the studio today is Vasilios Priskos, an icon of downtown development. He owns or represents dozens of buildings in the downtown area. His company, Internet Properties, has helped to redevelop major parts of downtown, including the Newmont University in the old Salt Lake Tribune building. Today we'll talk about what it takes to continue downtown's momentum as we develop Utah's capital city. All that after the news from the BBC. Welcome back. I'm Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance, and this is Downtown SLC. Joining me today, Vasilios Priskos, a downtown icon, the owner and founder of Internet Properties. And we're just talking a little bit about downtown and the future for our capital city. Vasilios, can you talk a little bit about the history of Internet Properties and then also your personal history downtown? You were really kind of raised downtown.
Correct, Jason. Thanks. First of all, thanks for having me. My family immigrated here in 1966. I was 2 years old. My dad was a blue-collar worker and had an opportunity in the very early 80s, 1981, to open a restaurant downtown. Because, as you know, that's what Greeks do. They do restaurants.
Yeah.
And so, of course,
good
my story
burgers,
would—
good fries, yeah.
My story would not be complete without a restaurant. And so he opened, at the time it was called the Royal Burger. Now it's the Royal Eatery. It's still there on 4 South and Main. And so I grew up in the restaurant business as a senior in high school. That was my first exposure to downtown Salt Lake, 17 years old, on 4 South and Main, and watching everything happen. And through those experiences, the floods, the reconstruction of the sidewalks, the reconstruction of the parking.
The demolition of Newhouse?
Demolition of Newhouse, great story. They're probably too long for this segment.
Go into it. No, that's good.
Well, it is an interesting story. So in 1981, when my father opened the restaurant, we were sitting there on the corner. And at the time, the new house was about to come down, which is the opposite corner of us on 4 South and Main.
And maybe describe for people who don't know what the new house hotel was. What was that like?
Sure. Well, to me, it was a beautiful old building. I think if it was still around today, it would have been preserved. It's just an interesting time in our history where one owner owned almost that entire block, Earl Holding, who owns the Grand and Little America. And I'm assuming he didn't think it was worth the preservation of the hotel. I still remember people going in there and taking things off the walls. They were taking handrails. They were taking everything out of that building.
Right.
Just salvaging that building, just trying to get a piece of that history. And so fast forward to our involvement. I'm sitting on the corner of the restaurant looking out across the street, and my father told me that Mr. Holding, and of course he said it in a Greek with a very heavy Greek accent.
Of course.
He said, watch what happens across the street. We're going to be rich. We're going to do so much business here. That gentleman's going to knock down that building, and he'll build something great there. And this was in 1982 now,
yeah.
When or maybe even late 81 when this happened. So fast forward about 18, 20 years later, maybe a little longer, I'm not sure of the exact time, I found myself on that same corner with my son who was 18 years old, about my age when I was sitting there with my father, and the LDS Church had just bought that same corner, that entire block that Earl Holding eventually ended up buying that entire block. The building was demolished. It turned into a very nice parking lot with very nice trees and and much better than what was there before. Not the old building, but with all the other smaller buildings and the mess that was there before. And so I sat there with my son, and I said, my oldest son is named Christian. I said, Christian, just watch. The LDS Church just bought that land across the street. Wait until you see what they do there. This is going to be a great location for our family. And it's just funny how history keeps repeating itself.
Yeah.
And here it is many years later, probably 4 or 5 years later, and nothing's happened there, but we still hold hope that something very nice will happen there.
Something great will happen on that block. Well, that kind of gets to a question about development downtown and what happens with development downtown. And you're somebody who has invested a lot in downtown. You own dozens of buildings in the downtown area. You've done some great developments downtown. Maybe talk a little bit about the current state of downtown development. What's happening in our downtown right now?
A lot is happening, as you know, and the Downtown Alliance is a big part of it. But I want to circle back to Burl Holding in that parking lot. And I think this is a lesson for all of us to learn. Development is not utopia, for lack of a better word. There's just not a perfect answer to every development.
Yeah.
And I think development is the fact that there's an opportunity for something to happen across the street from us, from the new Grand Hotel, which my brother and I own now, I think, the takeaway here. You can't develop where there's not opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so we look at these parking lots around town, and people just go crazy about parking lots, about why aren't they doing anything with that parking lot? Why aren't they doing anything with that old building? And I truly believe in supply and demand, and you have to have demand to build. You can't build in a vacuum. There has to be a user for whatever you build, and you have to build something that's sustainable, that will be with us for a long time, and you can't put up cardboard buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at that parking lot where other people see it as blight. I see it as a huge opportunity to bring something to our city. And that's repeated throughout our downtown. So I had the opportunity to be able to purchase the Salt Lake Tribune building with my partner, Mike Farrow. And we bought that about 5 years ago.
Right.
And the building was vacant. The Tribune had left years earlier. And we saw it as an opportunity. We didn't look at it and say, wow, we're going to make a lot of money here.
Right.
It's just a neat old building, great bones, a building that definitely should be preserved. And was preserved. And you go into a development like that knowing that you're going to do something. I don't think I've bought anything thinking I can't wait to knock that down. Well,
right.
Maybe there's one building that we might discuss later, but that doesn't have good bones. But this building had the bones, and an opportunity came along with a college that wanted to occupy the building, both as residential and for the college, and the development worked out.
Yeah. So this is Newmont University. That's at 136 South Main. Is that the address?
143 South.
143 South. Okay. So this is the Newmont building that's at 143 South Main, and I know, like Kirk Huffaker and others with the Heritage Foundation, were concerned, thinking what's going to happen to this building, and everybody in the downtown area is so delighted about the development that you did. It's really exactly what should have happened there. Hundreds of university students using that building for classes, living downtown, really helping to bring Main Street alive. And I think that's a classic example of a development that maybe not as big or splashy as City Creek Center, but that's definitely having an impact on Main Street and on our downtown. I remember when I first came to the downtown and was walking down Main Street, and I was kind of depressed because walking down Main Street, it was just dead. There wasn't really a lot going on. And that has sure changed a lot in the past couple of years. Maybe you own some properties on Main Street. Talk about what's happening on Main Street right now, on our historic Main Street of our capital city.
Well, you just gave an interesting analogy about walking down Main Street and it being dead. I mean, I started Internet Properties in 1994. And I, of course, just because of my history in downtown, I was just emotionally tied to Main Street.
Yeah.
I saw many businesses come and go, and there were good reasons for businesses coming and going. Some businesses shouldn't be in business, and others do extremely well. And this entire time since 1994, since I've been involved in commercial real estate in downtown Salt Lake, I haven't seen Main Street that way. I've walked up and down Main Street and, again, have seen opportunity, mm-hmm. have seen change. And I think that's the cool thing about our downtown. It's always changing. You know, the old stores of selling pianos and selling big and tall stores, you know, things that you either buy online or you go out to the suburbs to buy, those things aren't needed anymore. There was a time when those things could only be bought downtown.
Right.
And now we've turned into a community of services, of restaurants, of nightlife, of, you know, the quirky shops, if you will, that make a downtown interesting. We just opened in one of our buildings a Bad Apple store that fixes iPhones, and a little flower store, and all these little businesses help service the downtown population, both the people that live here and the businesses. And so all these years, I've kept seeing all this opportunity while people have been talking negatively about Main Street. It's just a transition, and this transition will continue in the future. I don't think it'll ever end, and I think that's the great thing about downtown. Everyone keeps asking, when is it going to finish?
Yeah.
And the answer is never.
Right.
It never finishes. We'll always have construction. We'll always have demolition. We'll always have things changing. And that's, I think, what draws me to downtown is just this this community continuing to change.
What are the challenges that we face downtown? What are the hard things that we're looking at right now that we need to try to solve to continue the sort of renaissance in the downtown area?
I think the missing link downtown, if there is one, is a 24-hour population, more housing.
Mm-hmm.
And you could correct me on this. I think we have about 2,000 people living downtown, and that number needs to be above 10,000 and fairly quick, and we could get there. We do have the population to support that. People do desire to live downtown, but there are not a lot of choices. We have choices for people that want to live in high-end living with what City Creek did in their condominiums. I think there's a great opportunity there for people to own something very, very nice downtown. And then we help publicly with a lot of low-income housing. But the people that work downtown, that you're just your regular guy and gal that work downtown, they don't have a lot of choices, and that's where we really lack. And so I'm a huge proponent of housing downtown.
Excellent. Well, when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Vasilios Priskos, the founder of Internet Properties. We're going to talk about the impact of City Creek, the new Utah Performing Arts Center, and a little bit about where we see downtown going in the next 5 and 10 years. We'll be back after these messages. We are back. This is Jason Mathis with Downtown SLC, joined today by a downtown icon and a dear friend, Vasilios Priskos, talking a little bit about the development of our capital city and plans for the future. City Creek Center's had a big impact on downtown and on Main Street and sort of the core of our city. Just talk a little bit about that. How has this major development by the LDS Church changed downtown from your perspective?
Well, I think it's a good example of how to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And many people say, well, the church has unlimited funds and they could do anything they want to do. But I could almost assure you that, you know, they still have to be careful with their investments. And
pretty conservative.
Very conservative. And but the thing I liked about City Creek is that there was not a public subsidy. They did what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
They did it the way the market wanted it. They attracted the tenants that they needed because of that. And I think government intervention in construction downtown or development downtown, you end up getting beige buildings and buildings that just, you know, they all start looking alike. And I think the architecture is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the architecture has drawn a lot of people to City Creek. It just shows you how good architecture is just as important as who's inside those buildings, maybe sometimes even more important.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when we get into the public process and use city funds, which entails them having a stake in what gets built and how it gets built, I think we lose part of our culture, if you will. And it just, when you have a committee of people trying to design something, it's just not good. And
yeah.
City Creek did it right, and it is the single best thing that's happened in our downtown since I've been in this business. I couldn't tell you any direct correlation between what's going on now and City Creek, but I could tell you that it's absolutely helped. People are looking at downtown differently. National retailers are looking on Main Street, which they haven't before. We're getting a lot of calls on Main Street. Unfortunately, our biggest problem now is we don't have the buildings for them on Main Street with the new Performing Arts Center and other assets that the city now owns. There are no opportunities to continue that retail down Main Street, which is really unfortunate in my perspective, because I do think we had an opportunity to continue that retail down Main Street. So you look at the other three sides of City Creek, and you have institutional, you have you know, the Alta Club on one side, and O.C. Tanner, which is just a wonderful building, and then you have our convention center on the other side. And the only place for City Creek to flow out in the development world is down Main Street.
So with additional retailers coming onto Main Street and helping to sort of fill in the gaps of people who maybe can't get into City Creek, but want to have a retail site close to City Creek.
Correct. And believe me, there are many of them.
Yeah.
And the opportunity just isn't there, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what the future brings. But a great development, a very responsible developer with the LDS Church, and we're very happy with the gift that they gave to down Salt Lake.
You mentioned the Utah Performing Arts Center, and I know they're a neighbor of yours with Newmont University, and you've had conversations. I think you've been a supporter of the Utah Performing Arts Center. Conceptually, you've liked the idea of that going into Main Street. Street. Maybe talk a little bit about how you see that impacting the cultural vitality of downtown, if in fact you think it will.
I think culturally it's great. It goes back to what I just spoke about on how we do development downtown. I was on the committee that helped suggest to the city where the site should be. This was not my preferred site. I think we have, we spoke of parking lots earlier. I think there are some nearby parking lots that might have been more suitable, but we had an owner that didn't want to participate in putting a theater on their land.
Yeah.
And I understand that, and it's their right. But, you know, again, we're knocking down some very interesting old architecture. At least two of the buildings, in my estimation, are very, very interesting and still have life in them to put in this theater. Now, in return, we're getting a brand new high-rise, which I'm very excited about, and I saw the architecture, and it's very interesting. And we're getting the Performing Arts Center, which I do support.
Mm-hmm.
But the location is, you know, I'm just not sure, and being a neighbor and having to deal with the construction for the next several years will be challenging,
yeah.
Especially with 90 students living in the Tribune building, or the Newmont building, as we should call it.
Yes.
That will be challenging. And my biggest... I think concern with the Utah Theater, excuse me, the Performing Arts Center, is the lobby itself. I really wish, you know, a theater is a destination place. All you need is a door.
Yeah.
People know where to go. They want the door to get in, and then it's the wow factor. The lobby doesn't have to be the wow. The people don't have to see it from the outside. And I really wish there was some more retail along Main Street to help facilitate people walking down the street, and not just a big lobby. And to me, that's the one downside. But again, history will or the future will show us what that will bring. And I'm hoping that the city's correct in what they're doing, and because it does affect us, other property owners, as neighbors and down the street. We need that flow to continue down to City Creek, all the way down to eat hamburgers at the Royal Eatery.
The Royal Eatery. Yeah. If you have not eaten there, you really should try it out. And your family is still involved in the Royal Eatery, right? Your brother, your mom still works there?
My brother still hates the fact that he was born 6 years younger than me, and he had to take over, and he's still stuck there at the restaurant. But he's a great guy and great operator, and 30-plus years of being downtown, and the city's been very good to us.
You know, I've talked about a convention hotel, and I know that you're a supporter of that project, too. You have one of the potential sites for the convention hotel at Aeropress Square. Maybe talk about your vision for that and what you will do if the hotel comes and doesn't get built on that site.
Sure. We do own the Aeropress site, which includes the DVA building that unfortunately burned down a few years ago. And then a couple of other buildings on First South. So we have amassed some property there on the corner, and we do believe in the convention hotel. We think there's a great reason for public support in a convention hotel. So I'm sold on it, both from a business perspective and for, you know, that it's needed downtown. The Grand and America Hotel and Little America Hotel are great facilities, but they're just not convention facilities.
Right.
The Grand is more like a Ritz-Carlton to me than anything else. It's an absolutely beautiful building. But unfortunately, it's too far away. Its price point is too high. And the people that run the convention facility need some control over this new project. And with that control, there's some trade-off and maybe some public monies that will need to come in to help bring more tourism to Salt Lake, which is just a key. We love tourism in downtown, helps the restaurants, helps everybody. And so it's a much-needed project. So we would like to see that. We do think we have a great location there on the corner, First South and West Temple, right across from the front door of the convention center, but it does have its challenges, just as the other sites that have been proposed have their challenges.
Sure.
And so if it doesn't work, we have already looked at and designed a smaller hotel, maybe 300 to 500 rooms, that we would build or would attempt to build on that site, because we still think it's a great hotel site. But without the convention hotel, there is no way we could, in this market, build an additional 300 to 500 rooms. The support just isn't there without new conventions coming to town. So the concern is we need our Nordstrom, we need our Anchor,
yeah,
so that we could build the Mac store. Without a convention hotel, I don't think I or others will look at building other hotels downtown.
Can you talk a little bit about the role of the LDS Church? They are a major landowner in downtown. They're a religious organization, but obviously they also have business interests in the downtown area. You're not LDS. You're Greek Orthodox, if memory serves.
Correct.
So you don't have sort of an insider's perspective, and yet you've seen what they've done in downtown and I think have an understanding of what their interests are. Can you talk a little bit about how the LDS Church relates to downtown and how you see their role?
Well, that's a loaded question. I'll try to be brief on it, but we couldn't have a better partner in downtown Salt Lake than the LDS Church. I still remember back right before the Olympics, looking at where I've invested, where I've told our clients to invest or asked them to invest, and you keep on looking at downtown and the cycles we've gone through, and the LDS Church has stayed strong. They've protected and preserved the area around the Salt Lake Temple, and so they've continued to show that year over year, decade over decade, and they have long-term plans, a lot longer than you and I will be alive.
Yeah.
And that's very comforting to investors to know that there's some stability in this market with the LDS Church. They have the financing, they have the apathy, they have every ingredient needed, and they're smart business people. Mm-hmm. They don't do things on a whim. They don't build buildings just to build buildings. They'll hold back if they need to. Their condominiums are only half sold. There's no panic. There's no reduction of prices to hurt the entire market, and they're very smart business people. I can't say that enough. But they've been fantastic neighbors. I believe they do keep their religious side separate from their business side. Mm-hmm. They do many, many things for downtown that people don't see, and they always, I believe, do the right thing for the downtown area.
Yeah. What, as we kind of wrap up, what do you think downtown is going to look like in 5 years or 10 years?
Well, unfortunately, in 5 years, I think I'll be able to get one building permit. And so okay, that's a little inside joke for those listening that we have a little issue with building permits now, but it's getting better. And there are some great discussions on how we can move things along a little bit. 5 years is a long way away. I mean, I think everything you see that's under construction right now or being proposed right now with the Convention Hotel and UPAC, the Utah Performing Arts Center, those two projects alone are huge.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that those kind of anchor projects will bring other development downtown. And it goes back to what I said earlier about housing. I think the next 5-10 years, we need to concentrate. We have to concentrate on housing. We need that population down here. Office buildings will follow housing. Retail will follow housing. Everything follows housing. Restaurants prosper with more people downtown. Our infrastructure, we've spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on infrastructure and light rail, all lines in downtown Salt Lake. There are many compelling reasons to live in downtown Salt Lake, and we need to take advantage of that. And my hope is in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll get up to that 10,000 residents living in downtown Salt Lake.
Excellent. We want to thank Vasilios Priskos for your commitment to downtown, your vision, your leadership, your investment, and your friendship. You're a great friend for the Downtown Alliance, and we really appreciate everything you do for our downtown community.
Thank you, Jason.
This has been Downtown SLC on KCPW. Join us every Thursday from 10 to 10:30, where we talk about the people, the places, and the events shaping Utah's urban center.